If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Colossians as we continue our journey through this epistle to the church at Colossae. We have reached a portion of Scripture where Paul explains that something foundational to what God is doing through the good news of Jesus Christ is evident and seen in the family. The family as God designed it. And we looked last week at this relationship between husbands and wives, but it is today that the Apostle Paul turns his attention to children and the vital role they play in demonstrating the gospel to the world. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 20, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, writes these words, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Let's pray as we go to the Holy Scriptures this morning. Father God, I pray that we would see how profound it is that within this text we see the significance of the family, the significance of the role that the family plays in bringing up children to know Jesus Christ. The role the family plays in being a blessing to our lives and the relationships that we get to have with one another as we seek together as different families to serve you as one church family. So God, I pray that we would see how much you value the family today, and we would see how to use the family to glorify your name. And Jesus, it is only in your name that we pray. Amen. It's really interesting that God deliberately, purposely forfeited his privacy and chose to reveal himself to us, to his creation, to the ones who, above all creation, we were meant to bear the image of God. And he has chosen and to explain how we are to relate to him. The Word of God says that God is a provider. The Lord is a king. The deity is a savior, a warrior, a redeemer, and the list goes on and on of how the scriptures describe who God is. And with each title comes recognition of how God's followers are to view him, but also how God's followers are to view themselves. If God is our provider, then we are they who need provision. If God is king, we are his subjects. If God is Savior, we are they who need saved. If God is a warrior, we are called to fight alongside him, not in the way the world does, but in a way that brings justice and truth and righteousness to this world. If God is a redeemer, then we are the ones who need redemption. With every title we see from God, we learn about who he is, and we learn about who we are. With every title and description, we learn this. And with all the titles, with each description found in God's Word, there is one title that should stir within us incredible joy and astonishing happiness. For God looks at us, his followers, and not because of anything we've done, but by his grace and goodness, he consistently says that we are to view him as a father. God wants to be known as God the Father. And we are to view ourselves as his children. Now, some people miscommunicate this, and I want to make sure I don't. The Bible does not say, in this sense, that all humans are children of God. But what it does say is every single person is invited to be. Every person is invited to be a son or a daughter of the King of the universe. And many have made that decision to do so by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You see, coming to Jesus, the only begotten Son, means God the Father becomes your Father too. This is how we are to relate to God the Father. That if we have admitted our sins, and we have believed in Jesus who died and rose again, and if we have looked to him alone for our salvation, calling upon him to be our Lord and Savior, then if you've done that, you are a prince or you are a princess to the ultimate king. And if that doesn't encourage us, I don't know what will. But I think that's the perspective we need to understand fully what this passage of Scripture is saying and why it's significant in the Word of God. Because the first application that we see this morning is this. Our first application is this. Live out God's design for children and parents. For what does it say, once again, in verse 20? Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. The word child does not necessarily denote age as much as relationship, the offspring of a parent or someone who may be adopted. Nonetheless, this context clearly has in mind children that are in the process of being raised. A parallel section of Scripture to this is Ephesians 6. And in Ephesians 6:4, it's fleshed out a little more of what type of child we mean. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, it says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Raise them, bring them up." That's the type of child that Paul has in mind here. A child who could be in their late teens, could be as young as an infant. Children that are being raised. So this is very important to any child or member of our youth. This is very important because God has taken this portion of Scripture specifically to speak to children, to give a message to teenagers, to give a message to young children who are in the process of being raised at whatever stage. And it's very important that we pay attention to this text. You see, I think many times, and you probably experienced this when you were growing up, or maybe you experience it right now, we can remember being younger and thinking, well, the responsibility of the church, that really falls on the adults. Maybe, like myself, you believed when you were younger in church that church was about socializing and friends, but children and youth, you know, that's they aren't to take responsibility in the church. That's the adult's job. But here's the amazing thing about this Scripture. God has amazing plans for children and youth in a church setting, in a local church. They are members of the church, those who've called upon Christ. And they don't just come here so that they can be entertained. They should come to the church realizing, even at their young ages, they are responsible for the church, to play an active role in the church, to witness to their friends outside of this fellowship, to proclaim the good news themselves. You see, Paul is saying here in Colossians and Ephesians that young people have a responsibility to Jesus Christ. Look what they can do with this profound responsibility. Verse 20 again, "Children, obey your parents in everything." Why? "For this pleases the Lord." Children have this grand responsibility, this remarkable opportunity to please God, to cause God the Father to smile when they obey their parents. Once again, Ephesians 6 is very similar to this. And in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we see this. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." The phrase "in the Lord" is saying in the sphere of Jesus, in connection to Jesus, not just to obey your parents because they're older than you, but to follow them because you know it glorifies Christ. In other words, God is not saying that he wants children to obey parents simply because they are wiser, though that is part of it. But more importantly, God is saying that he wants children and youth to be a part of his divine plan to establish the kingdom of God in the midst of this world. God has a dramatic, powerful plan that he wonderfully initiated at the cross and the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we must keep reiterating it, and we powerfully must keep emphasizing it, because this book is all about that plan, the exaltation of Jesus in our lives, where our lives are not about ourselves and what we want, making ourselves the star of the show, but we have this opportunity to find the joy of making Jesus the star of the show and making Jesus that which is most significant in our lives. It's not just the point of this book. It is the very point of your existence. You exist for the glory of Jesus. You have a role to play in the exaltation of the Messiah. And when we read about how the family operates, it's not just because it'll work well if you do it this way. This is all about Christ. And God has invited children and young people to embrace this order for his kingdom. It is an order to bring all things under the Son of God. This is the order of Christian families. And young people, children and youth, when they follow this order, when they willingly obey their parents, they lift up Jesus. And God has given us encouragement to obey this command, explaining that when children obey their parents, they are pleasing the Lord above all. And that should be our end game of everything we do. Whether it's encouraging a believer or witnessing to the lost, should we do it because we love that person? Absolutely. Should we do it because we care for them? Of course. But ultimately, we should do it because anytime we love someone, Jesus accepts that as love to himself. This is the plan God has for the family. I do think we need to make a caveat, because we see in Ephesians 6 and what it was referencing that there is this notion of long life for following your parents. But we need to be careful of what the Bible says. Is Paul saying that if you're good, man, you'll probably make it to 95 or 100 years old? Is that what Paul is saying? I don't think so. Let's look at what Paul was referencing. It goes back to Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, in Deuteronomy 5:16, Moses wrote this: "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you." I want you to listen to these words of a pastor named John Piper. This is what he says when he's considering the exegesis and interpretation of Deuteronomy. He says, "The promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land, I take to be a general encouragement based on the fact that in the days of Israel, when there was humility and respect and obedience to parents, God protected the people from their enemies and prospered them. But when they forsook his laws, became arrogant and disrespectful and disobedient, he gave them over to their enemies. The point is not that every child who is obedient will have a long life. The point is that God delights in obedience and gives special blessings to families and churches and peoples where that kind of humility and respect and obedience prevails. Therefore, does obeying your parents bring long life? Well, in a sense, obeying your parents cultivates the building up of your knowledge, of your character. It teaches you what type of relationships you should invest in, what type of companions you should have. It teaches you the difference between running away from recklessness rather than taking up responsibility, to flee lawlessness and violence, and to cling to a lifestyle that honors God. I think that is what it means that when we obey our parents and our leaders, it cultivates this life-giving path that we are on. Did you know that according to a study conducted single-handedly by a man named Aaron Sams from Independence, Kentucky, according to this study, that a Snickers bar is perhaps the best-tasting candy on the planet? I've conferred with the same author, and not only that, but to be even more bold, it is perhaps the best-tasting food on the planet. I love Snickers bars. But my firstborn child was born with an allergy to peanuts. So you won't find too many Snickers bars in the Sam's household. But whenever I'm out, occasionally, I will see a Snickers bar, and I quite often take advantage of that opportunity. But as much as I love Snickers bars, if I was living in Australia in 2005, I think I would have avoided eating a Snickers bar. Listen to this story that happened in Australia in 2005. Tens of thousands of Snickers and Mars chocolate bars were recalled in the Australian state of New South Wales following a threat to contamination that was present in the products. Master Foods, a management organization that represents the private company Mars in Australia and New Zealand, said that a threat has been made to poison a member of the public using tampered chocolate bars. The company has begun the recall of tens of thousands of Snickers and Mars bars from over 5,000 stores as a result. Due to the very serious nature of the tampering threat, we are instigating an immediate withdrawal of Snickers and Mars from all retail outlets. No one should eat a Mars or Snickers bar that they have bought. Please destroy it. It is not safe to eat it, said the company. Can you imagine such tragedy? What if you had a giant bag of Snickers bars and you had to destroy them? It's hard to fathom. You know, I love Snickers, but if I saw that story on the news, I would just get rid of all the Snickers bars that I had. You'd be foolish to eat them. But imagine this. Imagine if there was a parent and they still gave their kid the candy. And you said, "What are you doing? That could be poison." And they said, "I know, but my kids love it so much, I just want them to go ahead and have it." That would be ludicrous. Friends, listen to me. Satan has laid poison in our culture for children. And the role of the parent is partly to guide them away from it. Satan has laid greed and selfishness and laziness and hostility to authority and all types of sins that pollute this world. And the world exalts it. And Satan wants children to bite down on it and commit their lives to it. And a God-honoring parent is one that will warn of the poison that the enemy has laid in this world. Because there is a path of life that God has given us. Not to guarantee life expectancy, but a life that is promised this opportunity. A life that can be lived to please the Lord. And that is the only place we experience the true joy we crave. It isn't found in the garbage and trash that Satan tries to give us. The joy and happiness that we want deep down inside is only found when our lives correspond to lives that honor God. So yes, children and youth, obey your parents because there is a temporary benefit on this earth. But obey your parents more than that because you have a chance in doing so to please the Lord. That this Jesus who looked at you and said, "I would rather die than spend eternity away from you," this Christ who laid down his life for you, you get the chance to honor by something as simple yet as beautiful as following God's design for the family. This includes seeking the guidance of your parents. You know, the culture would tell you there's too large of a gap. Your parents are too old. They just can't relate to your culture and what you're going through today. And the culture will tell you that, but the Word of God disagrees. The Word of God says your parents can be a valuable tool. And we should teach our youth and our children to be revolutionary. And a culture that says discard the generation that came before you, you should look to them for wisdom. And discard the poisonous notions that Satan has scattered throughout our culture, where you obey them and in doing so, honor Jesus Christ. But this message in our text is not just to children. For we also see this application in the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 21, I think the application is, fathers and mothers should lead their children assertively and gently. Look with me again at verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now you may be saying, well, why is the application fathers and mothers if clearly, he's addressing fathers here. We'll take the whole context. He didn't say children obey your fathers. He said children obey your parents. Implied here is a team of a husband and a wife, a mom and a dad, who are seeking to love their children assertively and gently. Yet, there is a call for leadership to fathers in this text, no doubt. And it means that the father must understand he is the leader of the family, a leader not called to lord it over them to exalt himself, but a leader who is called to die to himself, that his wife and his children may love Jesus. From the beginning, we see that this was meant to be a team effort. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, if we would go back to the beginning, to Genesis 2:18, it says this, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper fit for him.'" Husband and wife fulfill their God-given gift to serve when they radically love their children. Once again, Ephesians 6 is the parallel. Ephesians 6:4, what did it say? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So when we compare this with Colossians, what are we seeing? We're seeing a godly father does not, intentionally tries to not, provoke his children to anger. A father who abuses his children with verbal insults and unrealistic expectations is not leading like a Christian should. He is firm, but he is gentle. He's not a wimp, and he's not passive, but he's not a bully either. A bullying parenting style is not what Paul is calling for in this text. Why is it good for a father not to provoke his kids to anger? Well, remember the poison that is present all throughout our culture and all throughout the world. One of the poisons that Satan has laid for a trap in this world is uncontrollable anger. When we let anger fester, when we don't deal with anger, we make ourselves vulnerable. And if a father is making his kids angry instead of loving them, then he could be giving in to the enemy's ploy here. Ephesians 4:26 says it like this. Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." So fathers should not be excessively overbearing and cruel. Instead, they must train their children in the Word of God. Now listen. That does not mean that you remove discipline. You love your kids when you discipline well. And if you forfeit discipline, you are not loving them well. Now, yes, do not be overbearing, but give consequences for bad behavior. The Heavenly Father does it to us, and we should practice that with our own children and display praise for right behavior and have fun and hug your kids. You should tell your kids you love them so much that they get sick of it. You should tell your kids you love them so much that they roll your eyes when you say it. Be there for them and be their biggest fan. When you do that, you run far away from the overbearing approach without forfeiting the discipline that they need. And to be a teacher to your children, you must be a student. The only way you will be a successful father is if you know the Bible well. They go hand in hand. The kind of father that God is looking for is a father that saturates his life in the scriptures that point to Christ. And this is how this text applies to us. Before we can teach children the Bible, we must know the Bible. So I ask you, men, how often do you read the Bible throughout the week? Are you reading it in context? Are you walking with Jesus through a book of the Bible? Do you have consistent quiet times with your heavenly Father so that you can be a better earthly father? Do you daily pray to God? If you do not, then you're not prepared to be the biblical father that this text calls us to be. The type of father mentioned in these verses is not passive, he's not lazy, he's not a wimp who gives pathetic excuses for not pouring his life into his relationship with God. He is an intentionally disciplined man who loves God and loves his word and finds his greatest ambition in life, aside from knowing and praising Jesus himself, to making sure his family loves the Lord too. And when the world sees parents being what parents should be, when they see a family who is imperfect and deserves nothing from God, but nonetheless, because of his grace and love, they are found in a relationship with him. When they see that family live out this model, they get a glimpse of the heavenly Father they could have if they would turn to Jesus Christ. Children matter in the Bible. Children are significant in the Scriptures because they're valuable to God. And I think that is in part because we learn so much about the good news of Jesus when we think about the role of children in our lives. When we think about the role of children in our lives and in our families, it should ultimately point us to this, that we, through the good news of Christ, have this beautiful invitation to become children of God, to become sons and daughters of the King. That is one way the Scriptures give us to relate to what God wants to do by inviting us in his family. So I think the reason why God cares so much about the family is it points to this ultimate truth in John 1:12. In John 1:12, this is how the good news of Christ is described. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. May it be true of everyone who's listening online and everyone in this sanctuary. May we be able to say, because we've admitted we're sinners, because we believe in he who died and rose again and called upon him for salvation, may we take comfort in knowing the Bible promises we are children of God. Let's pray. Father God, may we never take that for granted, that we can start a prayer by saying, Father, not because of anything we've done, not because of any good work we could accomplish, but only because you in your good pleasure sent the substitute. You sent Jesus Christ to die in our place. And you showed us your power when he rose again. And we thank you that through him and through calling to him, we can be confident and know that we don't deserve it, though it is a gift. We get to be your children. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone in this room that has never experienced that or listening online, that today would be the day of salvation. And I pray for those of us who have, who've called upon you, that as we close, we will just praise you with joy and thanksgiving that we get to be your children. Jesus, it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand. If you need to come at this time, you come as we close singing the praises of our Lord.